Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
Good evening, church. I have the amazing privilege to have this opportunity to speak. What wasn't such a blessing was that we got given our topics. And I have to say, when Phil told me what my topic would be, I can't tell you I was jumping for joy. Not because it wasn't a great topic, but I think I had my own preconceived ideas. So tonight I'm going to speak to you a little bit about what I learnt about finding grace. Grace is such a big topic, and I think it was so intimidating for me because all I remember are the songs that were written about it and the books that were written about it. And so if you had asked me about 2 months ago what I thought about grace, I could tell you what the popular scriptures were. I could give you a definition. But what I understood is that grace lived as a concept in my head. And over the course of preparing for this message, what I want to try to share with you tonight is the knowledge in your head is just as important. But I want to take it further and I want to tell you what grace feels like. I want to tell you what it is when it's something living and active in your life rather than a concept in your head. So I need to start tonight by telling you that where I started with grace and where I finished with it are in two very different places. So we're in for a little bit of a ride. So first of all, I think it is important to decide what is grace. Most of the biblical definitions of grace and the commentaries talk about this concept of grace being God's unmerited favour. Unmerited is a fancy way, if you like, of explaining that it's not something we can earn. There is nothing we can do to obtain the grace of God. The grace of God extends to these words like his kindness, his goodness, his benevolence, his blessing, his favour. So when I tell you it's a big concept, in my mind it is a big concept. The concept of grace appears in both the Old and the New Testament, but it's really not till you get to the Apostle Paul who champions this whole thing of grace. The word count, if you ever want to do one on the internet, will give you about 3 to 5 times more times grace is referenced in the New Testament to the Old. And mostly they are Paul's letters to the early church littered with this concept of grace. But to understand why grace was so important to Paul, we need to take a little moment to understand about Paul's life. Paul grew up in the early church as a Jewish person. So he started out as Saul, and most of us will know this story. He was taught by rabbis, and he knew the law, and he applied the law with all the passion and zeal that he knew. And then it says that around the age of 30 to 33, he has this amazing encounter with God. And in that moment, he goes from everything he has known to one experience that will change the course of his life forever. He comes face to face with grace. And from reading that passage of scripture on his road to Damascus experience is the first time we get this glimpse of what that song means. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. This is Paul's first way of explaining to us that his grace, the grace that he has experienced, must have messed his theology big time after spending 30 years with the law. But it's this moment where he goes from knowing the law to experiencing grace. And because of that, it allows him to talk with such passion and such zeal because it's a first-hand experience. It's no longer this thing he has heard about, he has researched about, but it is thing that he has come face-to-face with, he has encountered, and it's the thing that will change the church for the rest of its life. So when we think about grace and all the Bible scriptures where you can start, I will tell you that for me, grace is like the thread that holds my Bible together. From the beginning to the end and everywhere in between, God's grace is revealed in his word. But sometimes it's more overt than others. And so what I would encourage you tonight and what I want you to walk away with more than anything is a fresh understanding to take the things that we hear in the Bible that it is of value to learn, it is of value to research, but it is of no value if you don't have your own experience. If you want to reach our community, if you want to reach your family, it will be your personal encounter with God. In fact, scripture should be that launching pad for you, that thing that stirs up your hunger. It will be a sad day if what we know of our relationship with God and healing and prophecy and grace or any other topic comes simply for what we can read others have done. For me, I pray tonight that this will be a catalyst. This message will stir up a hunger in you to go and have your own encounter. But I do want to cover a little bit of scripture. And for me, when I go through all of Paul's writings, it's his letter to Ephesians that is the place that I want to start. I feel like for me that this is a little bit of a speed dating on grace. So if you have your Bible with you, turn to Ephesians 2. And I'm going to start by reading from verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead to trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ, that with the ages to come, that he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace, his kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God has prepared that we should walk in them. I want to linger in this passage of scripture for a little while, because I think Paul hands us some keys to what grace is. If I look at verse 8 onwards, the first thing he shows us is that it is by grace that we are saved, not of things that we have done ourselves. The biggest blessing or the biggest gift that of grace that God has given us is our own salvation. And when we can get that revelation that this is one of God's ways that he extends his blessing, his benevolence, his favour towards us, it's something that we then don't take for granted. The second thing Paul wants to make sure we know is that this is a gift from God. Grace is not something that we can strive for or earn. It's not about how much we do. It's not about being the right type of person or being enough of anything. Grace is simply a gift. Lest that we boast. I love that Paul puts that in, because then we can't claim credit for anything that God has done for us. And I think that's a real humbling thing for some of us to understand. It's important, particularly in the society we live in, when everything is about works. We get rewarded for the things that we do. And so sometimes I think we take these worldly things and we try to apply them wrongly to our relationship with God, and we end up in a very skewed place. I think this is one of the benefits of continuing to keep coming back to the Word of God and seeing what these things actually say, and about being in a community of God. Because often the things of the kingdom do not work the way of the world. And it's important that we can distinguish between the two. But the third and probably the most important thing that I learnt from this passage is that all this blessing and favour and God's goodness has a purpose. And it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared for us beforehand. So for me, I understand now that grace is not something I earn. But what I learn in this passage is that because of grace, because of his blessing and his favour towards us, it enables our good works. It enables the things we do. So we don't work to achieve something. We work because of something. And so this kind of got me on a thought. And as I mentioned, the Bible talks about grace in both the Old and the New Testament. And I always like to go back to the first place that something is mentioned. And in this case, it's mentioned right at the very start of the Bible in Genesis. And it actually brings us to a story of one of my most favourite people in the Bible, which is Noah. Noah was the very first person in which the story of grace unfolds. In chapter 6 in Genesis, God starts to talk about how disappointed he's become with people, how wicked the world has become, and how he needs to destroy and almost start again. But in verse 8, he has this amazing little piece of scripture that says, but now Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But the very next thing that you see Noah do is be given instructions on the ark and how to build it, and it's extremely specific and it's extremely time-consuming. Now, I don't know about you, but if the favour of the Lord was on me and he was going to save me out of a flood, I can think of 10 ways before building an ark. I think it'd be a lot quicker if he moved us to a mountain, made sure it didn't rain over it. I think he could have temporarily taken Noah and his family to heaven. I just don't understand the concept of the ark. And I have to say, I don't even know how Noah felt about building an ark. But what I do think, and what I'd like to suggest to you tonight, is that when Noah found favour, it enabled him to stay the course and build the ark. I can't imagine, with the state of the world and how wicked the place was, that people were cheering Noah on and offering to help and encourage him in building this ark. I don't think it was something that was finished overnight. In fact, it took quite a while to build the ark. And tonight, I really feel this is a word for a couple of us, that we have an idea about what the favour and blessing of God looks like in our life. If only God's blessing was pointed towards me, if only I experienced his favour, he would save me out of these situations. But I'll tell you tonight that for some of you, God has given you the plans to build your ark, and he's asking you to go and build. He's asking you to build your own life raft. He's given you a way out of your own situation. But sometimes, because we have this preconceived idea about what we think grace looks like, what we think the blessing looks like, we miss the signs of the way he's chosen to save us, the way he's chosen to take us out of a situation. And if that's not enough, the other character I like to have a look at tonight is Moses. Moses did some amazing things and he did some not so amazing things. I often refer to Moses as the reluctant leader, having to lead a people who didn't really want to be led by a person who didn't really want to lead them. So the fact that they got anywhere in 40 years is a miracle within itself. And so tonight, if you have a look at Exodus 33, Moses has taken into this habit now of setting up a tent or a tabernacle in the place where he camps. It's a place where he and God meet. And he is so desperate because he's told now that he needs to leave Mount Sinai. He's worried about the reaction of the Israelites. And he's so desperate to know that the favour of God is on this and that the people will know that this is what God wants, that he pleads with God. How will I know that your favour is on this? How will I know that your presence is with me? And in verse 17, God says to Moses, "You have found grace in my sight." And he goes on to have one of the most significant encounters that man and God have had. He asked to see the glory of God, the goodness of God. And because he had found favour, it was given to him. These are two powerful, amazing examples, very different on what grace can enable in your life. There is no blueprint, there is no structure to the way it is. But in both situations, it says that these men found grace. And so I kind of wanted to understand, what did it mean to find grace? If it's something that I can't earn, if there are things I cannot do to get it, how do I find it? And these scriptures also gave me a little bit of an insight into the way that God wants us to find grace. If you have another look at the scripture that in Exodus 33, after he tells him that he has found grace in his sight, the very next thing he says is, "I know you by name." To me, this suggests an intimacy with God. This is not somebody who casually came to seek God. God knew Moses. If you go back and have another look at the story of Noah, you will see the minute he says that Noah found favour in the sight of the Lord, the next thing he says is Noah walked with God. Again, these things speak about relationship. So what we know is that grace cannot be found in the doing, but grace can be found in the being. Grace is found in relationship with God. There are no prerequisites, there are no special things you need to do other than to walk and talk with your Creator. And I think Moses wrestles this one out so well, and it's something I had never seen in his scripture, but there's this link between the grace of God and his presence. The more grace and more favour that Moses needed, the more he needed to be in the presence of God. And for some of us tonight, we need answers. We have questions, there are things in our world that's complicated. Get into the presence of God. That is the only place you will find his grace and his favour and his blessing. And as Paul tries to explain to us, he's more than willing and happy and waiting to come and be found. And one of the other things I want to share with you, which again is found in Paul's account, is I think that there is one other thing that allows you to experience the full extent of grace in your life. And for me, I learnt this reading 2 Corinthians 12. Paul starts talking about this thorn in his flesh. And I wanted to read for you from verse 7. "And lest I should be exalted above any measure by the abundance and the revelation of a thorn in my flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times, that it may depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast of my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmity, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I think the final thing that such a learned man like Paul understood was that it took humility to really comprehend the grace of God. You needed to have the eyes of humility in order to see the grace of God at work in your life. And I think this scripture really just resonates to me that Paul had this revelation that in his weakness, in his limitation, in the thing he finally knew he could not achieve, it's there he found the greatest gift of grace. And I think that grace is littered in all of Paul's letters for two reasons. One, because he wants the early church to understand that nothing they can do can replace the grace of God. But also, I believe it was just a reminder for himself. As clever as he was, as much as he knew, and if anybody could boast, it was Paul. But that whole idea and concept of grace helped keep his humility. It helped keep him in a place where he could have a soft heart towards God, where he can continue to come with dependence on him and not think, I have it all sorted. So that's probably what I learned, and as I say, what's in my head. And what it did do was it made me understand that I don't think I had a real understanding about what the grace of God looked like in my own life. God was trying to show me at the very start of this sermon that the grace of God went far beyond what I thought that had been in my life. It wasn't something I got in salvation and then went away, but it had been there all the time. So I pleaded with God like Moses, and I asked him to show me what did the grace of God look like in my life. And I will tell you, God has a sense of humour because he showed me a patchwork quilt. And it's a quilt that's not even mine, but I remember seeing it, and so somebody very kindly lent it to me for tonight. And I want to talk to you about this quilt because it has so much significance and meaning. You see, there are only three colours in this quilt. It's yellow, it's black, and it's white. And the black patches represents those dark days, the time when things didn't go quite right. And as you can see, they're scattered throughout the quilt. It's scattered because it shows me that I moved through those places, that God enabled me in those places to build something with his help to move out. But also, and probably the most surprising for me, were these beautiful yellow squares. These were the times that I would say I achieved the success that life had. They were the good times. They were the times I happened to be at the right place at the right time. They were the time where I thought I had worked really hard and got something. And then there are these little white spaces in between. I found these the oddest to be in the quilt. But God told me that there was a whole life this side of heaven when I did not know the things that I were protected from, the provision he had gave me, the things that I would never ever know that he had done for me. And holding this whole quilt together is this tiny, consistent stitching. And this was grace. This was grace being woven all through the good times, the bad times, the things I didn't even know. This was my revelation of what the grace of God looked like in my life. As long as I was in relationship, as long as I kept walking and talking with him every day, grace consistently turned up. It never turned up in the package that I thought, which is how I think I missed it, because it was tiny and it was unassuming. But God's goodness, his favour, his blessing was always there. And so this for me was my revelation and what grace looked like in my life. But tonight I want more. I want something else for you. My prayer tonight is I want you to take this concept of grace, and I want you to have opportunity to know what the grace of God looks like in your life. It's always easy to see the grace of God retrospectively, to look back and see what it is. But what this quilt is for me, it's hope. It's a reminder that if God has enabled things in the past through his grace, that there is a whole future of things he's going to enable for me, whether I can conceive them right now or not. And so I'm going to invite Danny to come and sing a song for me, which I'm hoping is going to minister to you. When Phil asked me to speak on grace and I sat down to pray, there were only two things God gave me initially. It was a song and it was this quilt. And so the quilt journeyed for a few weeks till I could understand what it represented and why it would be important. This song is an old song, but it's something that has always helped me understand what grace is. It paints a picture of being carried. And sometimes that's a really hard picture to take in. That even though we want to be independent, even though we want to know that we did things in our own strength, this song is a reminder that sometimes we need to allow ourselves to be carried. Sometimes we need to disarm and have some humility and know that we can't achieve certain things without God. So tonight, I just pray that as Danny sings, that you just create space in your own mind and heart to have a conversation with God about what does grace look like for you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.